Monday, then we have Deborah.
The current version, whatever the current.
This first one is just the department's response.
Yeah, I got to get one.
Yeah, it's the finger things.
And a lot of people were surprised.
So what do you do, say you want to take notes on the bill? There's got to be a little memo box you could probably.
It's pretty thin.
The House Committee on Revenue will come to order. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2158. Paul?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2158 comes to you from the Department of Revenue. And it's a change in the forms used for donations of surplus, 2% surplus kicker refunds. The legislature had directed the Department of Revenue to put a box on the tax return if people wanted to contribute their kicker refund to the state school fund. So that was on there. That did apply to the 2001 refund. It was the first time, and then it also applied to the 2007 refund. The 2007 refund, of course, was the largest we've had, nearly 20% of pre-credit tax liability. And the way the contribution works is, under current law, people, when they fill out their return, they have to check the box, you know, by April 15. So you don't know what the kicker is, you don't know what the size of it is. And one of the things that the department encountered was there were people who had checked the box who didn't recall or were unaware of it and didn't get their kicker checks and had them go to the state school fund. So this bill is designed to modify that contribution form. And what it does basically is it allows taxpayers to indicate that all or part of a surplus refund payment will go to the state school fund. That way people could designate a cap, for example, or a dollar amount that they would put in. And the bill state that once the election is made on a tax year, it's irrevocable for that year. And then, of course, you'd have the option of doing it again the next year. So House Bill 2158, I think we have Deborah Buchanan here to talk about it for the department.
Great. And while she's coming, do we have anyone else signed up to be heard? We don't. Thank you.
Good morning, yes, Chairman Barnhart, members of the committee. Deborah Buchanan with the Department of Revenue. You've heard a very good summary of the bill and what it's intended to do. The last kicker process for the department was rather painful. Some of you who were in office in December may have had calls from constituents very concerned about what had happened. We received about 3,500 calls or emails or letters from taxpayers who indicated that they had not, in fact, checked that donation box on their return, or if they had checked it, they had changed their minds and wanted their kicker. And, of course, current law now provides that if they do check the box and make the election, they cannot change their mind for that tax year. So we had a difficult time. In fact, we did end up issuing an additional 500 refunds to people who filed certifications with us indicating that, in fact, their records showed they had not checked the box and their printed out copy from their software showed the box not checked. So these were people who filed electronic returns. Their records showed it wasn't checked. Our records showed it was checked, and that amounted to about 500. In that process, we also received requests from taxpayers who had, in fact, printed returns showing the box was checked but wanted their refunds, and we denied those on the basis that they had checked the box and their records showed it was checked. There were appeals to the tax court. We have had two decisions now, both upholding the department's action. There are still a few cases pending. But what House Bill 2158 would do, we hope, is minimize a chance of this situation coming up again by requiring the taxpayer to do something a bit more affirmative than simply checking a box. They would have to indicate on the return how much, by way of a percentage, they're willing to donate of any future kicker. And I've given you a copy of this year's tax booklet. Some of you may not see these if you use electronic software to prepare returns. But just past page 22 of this booklet is the form for 2008. At the bottom right corner of that heading, line 7E, you'll see the box that they're asked to check to indicate that they want to donate a kicker. And of course, people are filing these returns now. We're receiving returns. People don't have any idea, generally, whether or not there will be a kicker, what the amount will be. So when they're checking this box, they're pretty much taking it on faith that they're willing to give up whatever kicker they might have. And this last time, that did cause a bit of a problem. So we would encourage you to adopt this modification to the tax law. And I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Berger.
Yeah, Deborah, a lot of folks are filing electronically using proprietary software. Is this kind of thing getting into, like, TurboTax and those kinds of softwares in a timely manner, or is this another place where it could be missed?
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, we work with the software companies in developing the forms, and then they use that to develop their software. So each company will use a slightly different method of indicating that someone wants to make a donation. I was looking at TurboTax a few days ago, and it's simply a question of do you want to donate, and a checkbox and a statement that if you decide to do this, you can't change your mind. So each of them does something just a little bit different, but we do communicate with them, work with them. If the bill were adopted, then presumably they would have that in their systems for the next process.
Follow-up, Mr.
Yes,
Chair.
Please.
And so you have pretty high confidence that that will not be an issue for those who aren't using the form, the printed form?
Mr.
That
Chair.
That they'll get it pretty, with their TurboTax, it'll be pretty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, the software companies also were not looked on favorably in this process because I think a lot of the taxpayers who were affected did blame the software companies for not being clear about what they were doing. So I would expect those companies to work hard on making sure that people aren't impacted by this in the future. I hope I answered that question.
Yeah, I think that's the assurance that I'm looking for because more and more are going to that
yes.
filing method with encouragement from you.
Yes.
Yes, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if I understand correctly, the problem before was that people had to check a box on April 15th or perhaps before then that was going to apply to a kicker check that comes later that year, and they're not necessarily remembering or aware of the fact that they had elected to donate their kicker check. And that this changes it so that people are now writing in a percentage that then affects their kicker check in November. I guess I'm not clear on how this helps or how this changes things.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bailey, in looking at how some of the software works,
yeah, I don't know.
We think what may have happened is people are asked to answer a series of questions, yes or no, or to make some indication in going through their tax preparation. And they may just come to that screen and it asks, do you want to donate your kicker? People may read that and think, oh, do I want a kicker? Yes. They just misunderstand what they're looking at. And then when it comes time to get the kicker and instead they receive a letter of thank you for their donation, they don't remember having done that. In fact, I recall one gentleman who filed a paper return, and the box was checked. And he insisted that he did not check the box. And it was his belief that someone in the Department of Revenue in processing the return had checked the box for him, because he was certain he did not check the box on that return. So it is a time lag between the time they file and the time the checks and the letters go out in December that they simply don't recall what they did. Now, how this will help, I don't think that this is going to resolve all of the issues. It won't be perfect. We'll still have people who put in a percentage and don't remember that they did it. But by making them do something a little more affirmative, that is, writing in or typing in a number rather than just checking a box, we think it should reduce some of the problems.
Well, Mr. Chair, yep. Thank you. Does your department have an estimate of how this will change the amount of money that's going to the state school fund? I would imagine that there will be perhaps more people that will opt into the system because they can designate less than 100%. On the other hand, I would also imagine that few people are going to now choose 100%, although maybe now we're going to have a lot of people writing in 100% because they want 100% of their kicker. But
Mr. Chair, Representative Bailey, that's a very good question. I think, personally, probably there will be some people who would be willing to donate some small amount of money, who weren't willing to donate an unknown amount of money. But it could be that the total comes down. We worked with the state school fund in this process in December, and their response to us was they didn't want money from people who didn't really want to donate it. So they've been very, very cooperative and very willing to work with us in figuring out how to minimize this.
Representative Bentz, and then Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if some of the confusion. Let me back up. Are you pretty sure that we know what the source of the confusion was so that the design of the solution fits that source? Because as I look at it, you could pick out, as President Bailey did, a number of different sources of the problem. Was there some sort of an investigation of the 3,200 calls?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bentz, we did try to figure out exactly what had happened with this, and we never did come up with a final conclusion as to what the problem was. We did find one software company that had problems with its software. It had checked every single box in the heading, and they recognized they had a problem. So that company contacted the taxpayers, and I think they actually refunded the money for them. But in our investigation, we could not determine exactly what had happened to cause the problem. For the majority of the people, we do think that either they inadvertently checked the box and didn't understand what they were doing, checked the box and didn't recall doing it. But I think there was just some confusion about what that meant in selecting the box. So we are working in our instructions. You'll see that we've tried to be a little more clear on the form about what they're doing by checking the box. And we're also working with the software companies to hopefully encourage them to be more clear about what that is doing.
Yeah, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One, like me, might guess that there's confusion on the taxpayer's part over what, quote, kicker refund, end quote, means. Because I just think a lot of folks may not have a clue what kicker means. And so, but I would just be guessing as whether or not that's the problem. So I don't know if further. I'm sure we could go back in the book here and find the definition of kicker refund someplace. Is there a simple way of referring the person to that description on the face of your form, or are you going to simply rely upon them going, oh, kicker, I remember what that means?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bentz, that's a very good question, and maybe the staff at the department becomes so in tune with what we do and so aware of what the kicker means that we sometimes forget that perhaps the general public doesn't think about it until they actually get a check. So that's a very good suggestion, and it's doubtful at this point that this will come into play for the 2008 year. So for the 2010 year, we need to do a better job of explaining just what that is. So we'll take that back. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A comment and then a question?
Yes, please.
I would just point out that one of the reasons we don't have precedent for this in other states is that we have a kicker and other states are smart enough not to have one. And if we didn't have one, we wouldn't have to deal with how to fill out our forms appropriately. I'm wondering why, when I read the bill, and I actually had the identical bill drafted, and I had assumed when it talked about providing the space on the return to put the cap, I had not imagined that as a percentage, but as a dollar amount. And the reason for that was when I heard from constituents, many of them did know what a kicker was. They did understand that they had checked the box. What they had not anticipated was the sheer size of the kicker. And they didn't mind having some of that money go to the state school fund as a contribution. But for some of these individuals, a contribution that ended up being $200 or $250 became the largest contribution they'd ever made to anything in their lives. And it was beyond their means and beyond what they felt comfortable doing. I think if it's a percentage, they still would have to be able to anticipate the size of that kicker that they're getting back, which would also require the general public to understand that we can't tell them what the size of the kicker is going to be because it's so unpredictable. But if a citizen could or a taxpayer could write in the blank, I will donate up to $50 or I'll donate up to $75, wouldn't that be easier for calculation and less subject to misinterpretation and subsequent frustration by the taxpayer?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gelser, you make a very good point, and I think you're probably correct that we will have a dollar amount. We may also have a percentage indicating 100%, because we have heard from people who are philosophically opposed to the kicker in the first place and believe that it all should be back with the state and simply send the checks back and ask them to be canceled, ask them to be donated. So the percentage would allow them to designate 100%.
Couldn't instead of follow up?
Please.
Thank you. Instead of writing $25 or $50, couldn't they write in that space no cap or all? I'm just worried that percentage is so complicated, and it seems like that would be very complicated, except for 100%, which is 100%. Like it would create a lot of work in your office as well.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gelser, I think the draft of the bill would allow us to do either of those dollar amounts or 100%. So we would take that and act on that. I don't think we're prevented from doing dollar amounts, and if that's the best way to go, then that would be what we would do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to comment that I'm persuaded by Representative Gelser's comments here. People don't understand percentage, and percentages of what is a good question. Mm-hmm. So I was going to suggest amendment, but if the bill is permissive in this, I think that the Department of Revenue should hear this clearly, that I think that Representative Gelser is correct in when people fill out these forms, a percentage of an unknown quantity is even more confusing than a dollar cap.
Representative
Riley, yes. I did get the head nod, and I'm getting head nods around across the podium here. Representative Call.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my one concern is maybe you could talk about the fluctuation and how much the kicker could possibly be coming back to an individual, because if in 1 year they put down a specific amount, and that would be, say, 50% of the kicker that they got in the past, and then this year they put down that same amount, and it ends up becoming 100% of the kicker check that's coming to them, they might feel like they had intended to be giving 50% of how much they had given, of what they would have received before, but are now giving 100% when that really wasn't their intention. And so can we talk about the differences in how much the kicker return would be such that a person wouldn't find themselves in that situation? Does that make sense?
Mr. Chair, Representative Call, the question does make sense, but I don't have a good answer for it because, again, at the time someone's completing this form and making an election, The kicker, there hasn't even been a determination that there will be a kicker, let alone how big it will be.
And so can I just say very clearly what my concern would be? If, say, year one, you have a $400 kicker that came to you, and that is what you're basing your thought processes on, and then in year two, you put down $200, and year two, the kicker is, in fact, $400, then you've effectuated your intent to give 50% of your money to this fund. And in year three, if the kicker that is coming to you is $200 and you put down $200 on that line, then in effect you're giving 100% of your kicker to this fund when really what you intended to do was to give 50% of your kicker. And so that's the concern I have, and I'm wondering if there's enough fluctuation in how much the kicker can be coming back to a person that might result.
Yeah, Paul.
Thank you.
Representative Call, just kind of historically on the kicker refunds are going back to when they were a credit before 95. You know, what you do is you take the amount over the forecast and divide it by your estimated liability. So you're taking that total amount for a 2-year period and dividing it into a 1-year period. So if you look at the percentages of the kicker, they varied from about 5% to this latest one, which was 20% of pre-credit liability, which was by far the biggest we'd seen. So, you know, it's going to vary within that range. And, you know, so it's hard for people to get a sense of that. Of course, the other thing is, remember, this 07 kicker refund was the first refund since 01. So it'd been 6 years. And so there's a lot of period where there's not one at all. The other thing to keep in mind is it's a percentage. So that of your liability, and I don't know how closely people track that. I mean, one year they may owe $10,000, the next year they may owe $5,000, and then it's a percentage of those different numbers. So it's going to vary quite a bit by taxpayer and over time.
Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Representative Gelser's comments about the dollar amount are well taken, and I also share Representative Call's concerns. The other concern that I have is that we don't have an estimate of what this is going to do to the amount of money going to the state school fund, and that it seems like we have a couple of different scenarios that could be wildly different. That if you have a dollar amount, for example, it may seem very reasonable for folks to write, you know, $50 seems like a lot of money, but 50% also seems like a fairly reasonable amount to write down. Well, those are very different amounts of money. So I guess this is more of a comment than a question. I would hope to be able to see some sort of estimate of what we think this is going to do to the amount of money that's going to the state school fund. It seems like there's a number of different scenarios.
Yes, Paul.
Representative Bailey, that's really kind of our bailiwick to make an estimate on the revenue side.
Great.
So we'll talk with Deborah about that, and we'll see if we can shed a little bit more light on that.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that this challenge speaks to the challenge of the kicker. We have a kicker when we have a challenge with estimating what the revenues are going to be. So to, on top of that, estimate what the miscalculation of the revenue impact will be to provide an advisement to the taxpayer when they're filling it out before it happens, I think might be humanly impossible.
May I comment on that? I think if it is possible, then the revenue estimate should be different. And that would take care of the problem. Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, there is an easy way out of that, and that is to forget this checkoff altogether and let people give charitably to whatever they want and take the tax deductions appropriately and get this off our form entirely. I have real objections, as everyone knows, to the complications of our tax forms, let alone our tax structure. And if it were left to me and I were the sole vote, I'd take this right off the face of the thing and let people do whatever they want with their kicker.
Thank you. Other questions? I have a couple. First, do we know how much money this generated for the school fund?
Mr. Chairman, during the February 08 session, I had that data, and the donation then was about $6.8 million as a preliminary total. That would not take into account the refunds that we did make following our process.
Okay. I think it would be useful for us to have that information. And also, if you know of a historical pattern of contributions, I know this wasn't on the 01 form, was it?
Mr. Chairman, it goes on each even-yeared form. In 2002, there were about 8,800 people who indicated they wanted to donate. In 2004, 10,900. And in the 2006, we had around 11,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it has increased each cycle, the number donated.
Right. The reason I'm asking the question is because I'm trying to figure out for myself whether Representative Berger's solution is the correct one. If this is generating millions of dollars, it may be worth the fuss. And so I think that's an issue for me, and it would be useful to get when was this added to the return.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it was 1999 legislation that required us to put the box on there.
Okay, so we do have some history before that. And
Mr. Chairman, we would not have had the box on there before that.
Right.
I mentioned that some people are philosophically opposed to receiving a kicker. In response to that, there is a website that the Department of Administrative Services has set up that allows people to donate directly to state programs or to state agencies that they wish to donate to. And when we receive calls asking, what can I do with my kicker check? I don't want it. We suggest they cash the check, go there, and make a donation. And I have heard from practitioners who advise their clients to never check that box because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what it will be. And they say, wait, get your kicker check, make your donation. So there is some of that. Anyway,
I have a couple more questions, too. The new language refers to funding education, line 30, page 1. Does that deal with the donation to, or maybe, and I may have it, there may, it may be somewhere else in the bill, and I just simply didn't see it. Does that deal with the issue of the donation to the school fund?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it does. I believe that is intended to replace language that's being deleted now on page 1, line 11.
Okay. That's much more specific language, isn't it?
Public elementary and secondary school education, yes.
Right, under ORS 291. I don't know what 291-349 is, but...
Mr. Chairman, that is the one that provides for the surplus refunds. That is...
Oh, okay. Oh, and the language is on line 2 of page 2. I'm just concerned about the way the... The specifics of the bill are drafted. So you would, your agency would interpret this language as authority to follow the taxpayer's instructions to make a donation to the school fund?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right. Anything else this morning? Obviously, we're going to want to look at this and think about it some more. I think it might be useful if the... department would write us a very short memo that describes after this conversation where you likely would go with this bill if it were adopted.
I will do that, Mr. Chair.
Great. Thank you. That would Thank be very you. Helpful. Anything, as, do we have any other, anyone else who would like to be heard on House Bill 2158? We'll likely schedule this for another hearing later, but I'm not certain of that. Thank you. With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2158 and open a public hearing. There are two related bills here. We're going to open them together, House Bill 2159 and House Bill 2068. Chris?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Both of the bills deal with, both deal with credits. House Bill 2159 comes from the Department of Revenue, and it is a technical clarification pertaining to business energy tax credits. Current statute has that when a entity owns a facility that has qualified for the credit and they dispose of that facility somehow, the credit is revoked, and then the new owner of the facility can apply to the Department of Energy for the remaining amount of the credit. The language in the bill here clarifies that when a partner disposes of his or her interest in a partnership or shares of an S corporation, that does not constitute a disposition of property. So the difference there is the entire business disposing of the property versus an individual shareholder just leaving the business. So it clarifies that does not provoke the revocation of the certificate. So that's the one technical change or clarification. And the other clarification is that the amount of the transfer can be all or part of the credit. And Section 2 literally just adds those words, all or a portion of a credit. Both of these changes just codify what the Department of Revenue or how the Department of Revenue has interpreted existing language, so they are clarifications of existing law and coincide with DOR's current practices. And so that's the simpler of the two bills. House Bill 2068 is something of a template bill. It deals with the transfer of all of a variety of tax credits. There are a number of credits on the books that can be transferred one way or another, and the language varies from credit to credit. The intent of 2068 is to really initiate a policy discussion on how you would like the transfer of credits to be handled, regardless of which credit is transferred. The design there in Section 2, it outlines the first steps on how that transfer would occur, the intent here being that statute gets placed gets created, and any time you want a tax credit to be transferable, you can simply refer to that language. I do have, in your packet, there is a page called the Tax Credit Transfer Policy Options, and I just wanted to touch briefly on some of the policy options that aren't contained in the bill right now. The bill really is just kind of a first cut at the policy that you would like to see implemented pertaining to the transfer of credits. So just briefly, some of the policy options that came up during discussions during the interim are which credits you would like to be transferable, the number of times a credit may be transferred, whether it's once, if you want a limit on the number of times it can be transferred, the transfer price determination, if you want that done by administrative rule, which is how it currently exists in 2068 in that draft, the eligibility for transfer, which entities can transfer credits, whether it's C corporations, pass-through entity, individuals, the prioritization of potential transfers. For example, what we're seeing with the business energy tax credit is there are a number of potential transfers that Department of Energy is sitting on. Do you want some sort of provide some direction to state agencies on which credits get transferred first? State agency certification. Some credits require state agencies with relevant program expertise to require certification. Some do not. And the applicability of transfer credits. Would you like the transfer of the credits only to be applied prospectively for tax years going forward, or can it be applied in some sort of retrospective manner? Some credits have clawback provisions, so another policy decision would be whether or not you want to include some held harmless language in this all-encompassing transfer language. And then there are many other policy options that aren't on this list. This were just some of the options that came up during the this discussion in the interim. And the table there under the potentially affected credits is a list of the credits that are currently in the bill. It's by no means comprehensive. This really is just a start. And so we have six or seven credits that are identified in the bill. You have BETC, RETC, the film production, development contributions, farm worker housing lenders credit, and construction credit, the biomass production or collector's credit that was created last session, the diesel truck engines for the new engines is included in the bill. And then two other credits that are transferable but not currently in the bill are alternative fuel stations and the retrofit and repower diesel truck engines. So that's just to give you a sense of what's in the bill right now, but it really is meant to be kind of a launching point for the policy discussions you'd like to have.
Thank you. Colleagues, just for those of you who were not on the committee during this special session last year, when we were looking at amendments to the BETC from 07, and we actually passed a bill to make some significant changes in that law, the issue came up in our conversation about how the transference of credits was actually handled. And several of us thought at the time that the way to handle this would be for one agency, preferably the Department of Revenue, to actually be responsible for managing the transference so that we would have a proper auditable trail of ownership of the transfer, so that when tax returns came in, you could actually figure out whether an entity was entitled to a transfer that they claimed or not, for example. And there are other considerations as well. It's a kind of esoteric issue, but at the same time, it could be very important from an administrative point of view. Obviously, I don't expect to hold a work session on this bill immediately, but it's good that we get it started. And I think we have one person who wants to be heard on both bills. So let's ask Mike Graney to come forward for the department, I think. And did you want to bring someone else? Yep, that's great.
Department of Revenue.
The two departments are going to be on the at the witness stand together. That's great. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Mike Graney. I'm director of the Department of Energy. We do support both bills. The one bill is Department of Revenue's bill, so that's why I asked Deborah to come up. But the one, House Bill 2159, the changes, the clarifications on transferability, I think are very important because there have been a number of questions raised. I also think having a uniform set of guidelines and standards that would apply to our tax credits as the same as other tax credits will also be very helpful to accountants and to the businesses that we work with, because there has been a lot of confusion there. So from a policy point of view, we support both of them. I think we do may have some suggested wording changes on both to clarify what you're intending to do. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And what? Yes. Others? Yes, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a nice circumstance to have both departments here. A question that has been running through my mind, I've mentioned to Director Graney at another point, so I'm curious, Deborah, maybe you could weigh in on this. I was wondering about the process. Some of the credits obviously require certification by different agencies before they go forward, and the connection with tax compliance. We talked, Director Graney and I, about the possibility of adding in a step where, during that certification process, an agency would check with the Department of Revenue to see whether an applicant is in tax compliance. And I just wanted to see if you had a reaction to that generally as a concept.
Mr. Chair, Representative Reed, that's an interesting idea.
And for the record.
I'm sorry. Deborah Buchanan with the Department of Revenue. That is something we could certainly look at. One question would be what is meant by compliance. Mm-hmm. A question might also be about disclosure and our ability to disclose information to other agencies. You may hear more about that later in the week. But I would say that's something we'd certainly be willing to look at. And if I could just follow up on that, you mentioned the certification process and compliance, and that is one thing that we think is valuable in helping to ensure compliance is the certification process. We have had some issues in the past with credits that don't have a certification process, and our ability to audit those and verify that they're actually entitled to them is a little more difficult than if a certification process exists. So I simply throw that out there.
Thank you. Okay. Yes.
Question of Chris.
Representative Berger.
Thank you. How many you've sort of potentially affected credits on your little chart here? How many potentially more credits are affected? Is this a long list or a pretty short list on transferable credits?
I'm currently still talking with Ledge Council to be definitive about that list, so I come to you and say, okay, here is the comprehensive list of credits that are transferable currently in one way or another. I believe this is most of them.
That would be my sense, Chris, that there aren't a whole lot more out here. So, and that simplifies our job in some sense, because the world, now is the time to get a handle on this when the universe of these is still fairly small. If the universe grows, it gets harder to be more uniform in the, mm-hmm. what you're trying to do.
Some of us are hoping that the universe doesn't get much larger.
I understand that, Mr. Chair. That's a discussion for another day.
Yes, certainly is. Yes. Mr. Buchanan, did you want to be heard on these bills yourself?
Mr. Chairman, if I could speak just to House Bill 2159 for
sure.
A moment. I think that all or portion language is fairly clear as to what's intended there. It's our attorney said there are some statutes that use all or a portion. This one doesn't, so it sort of calls into question whether it's an all or nothing transfer that's allowed for the business energy tax credit. The part about the partnership, I wanted to be clear that we are not intending to change what we believe the current policy is around partnerships. This is only dealing with a partnership that is the recipient, the original recipient of the credit. So a partnership constructs a facility. The partnership is certified for the credit. The partnership distributes that to the partners. If you assume that partners A, B, C, and D receive that credit in year one, and partner D sells her partnership interest in year three, this is simply saying that's not a sale of that entire facility. The credit is not revoked and reissued. It's simply transferred to that new partner. It leaves in place what we believe current law provides, which is if there's an actual termination of that original partnership, that is, ABCD goes away and you have a new partnership through the sale of enough partnership interest, then there is a revocation and a reissuance. So this is not intended to allow new partners to come in and out of a partnership and qualify for a credit. It's a very what we see as a very technical change currently how we are applying the law, and I did want to be clear on the record about that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I'm not sure that this language accomplishes that. I'm getting a head nod from Representative Bentz. I mean, this language would appear to allow exactly what you say it doesn't allow.
I have that concern as well, Mr. Chair.
I wonder if the department might want to work with Ledge Council to see if we can come up with an amendment that would better describe your intent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That makes sense
yes.
to you? Yes. Okay. I'm not the only one who was concerned. All right. So that's 2159. Did you want to be heard on 2068? I think this is a time, if you have comments on the structure of the proposal, it would be a great time to make those comments. And then we also have at least one more witness on 2159.
Mr. Chairman, you mentioned that it would be good for the Department of Revenue to be the single point of contact for transfer. And I know that there may be some concerns about that, about cutting other agencies out of that transfer process, and I don't think that would be our intent of doing that. We do want to involve the other agencies. Department of Energy needs to know if a credit that it has certified and issued has been transferred. They need to be involved in that transfer process. They need to know who did the transfer, who the new one is, and so on. So it wouldn't be our intent to eliminate those agencies that are doing the certification. What we're hoping to have is a standard method of verifying when transfers do take place and making sure that credits aren't being claimed twice, that the person who did the transfer doesn't continue to claim a credit in addition to the one who received the credit, and so on. Chris talked about the different statutes and the different language. We've run into difficulty. The business energy tax credit, for example, is transferred for, I believe, the present cash value.
Right.
And another credit that can be transferred is the biomass credit, which is transferred for consideration, and yet the law doesn't define consideration. In implementing that tax credit, we had problems because taxpayers couldn't use the credit and were giving it away. Well, is there consideration involved there? Probably not. We had employers who were passing the credit out to employees in lieu of bonuses. Well, you probably have some consideration there, but then what's the value of that for that employee? So we have run into some difficulty because there aren't standards as to how consideration is measured, how transfers occur. So we're hoping to get some standards in there, but it's not our intent to eliminate the work that the certifying agencies are doing now.
Right. Other questions? At this time, I suspect we'll have additional hearings on both of these bills as we progress. And do you have any comments on the table that Chris referred to and the suggestion, I think, well, he didn't actually suggest it, but the idea that these two at the bottom are not currently in the bill, should they be added?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have the table, and the two at the bottom are the
diesel truck engines, retrofit repower, and the alternative fuel stations.
And, Mr. Chair, we would be fine with having those added.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Representative Vance.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a question as to process. One of the burdens of being having some background in tax is that one tends to read these with a great degree of critical thought.
And that's exactly what I would hope you would do.
Well, but the question is, how much value is there in my raising these issues now as opposed to later or as opposed to privately? What's the problem?
I think raising them now is a fine time to do it. If I had three more bills scheduled for public hearing this morning, I might have a different opinion, but we don't, so we do have time to go into it.
Well then.
But it's also quite reasonable to raise issues with the department at another time if they're technical in nature, and we'll get to them in due course, as you prefer. Raising them now does mean that other people who are here for a public hearing may decide that they want to comment on them. It's up to you.
I think for today's purposes, it would be most efficient if I talked to the department after the hearing.
Okay.
And that might be the fastest way of getting through these.
All right. Thank you. So expect some communication
yes,
from Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Technical matters you're concerned about.
Correct.
Yes, thank you. We want these bills to say what we mean them to say.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Other questions of these two witnesses? I don't see any. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can you read that? Suzanne. Oh, Suzanne Letta Lou? Yes, please come forward. You can see we were puzzling a bit over your name.
I know, it's difficult to pronounce. Thank you for having me speak today, Chair Barnhart. I'm Suzanne Letta Lou. I'm the Senior Policy Advocate at Renewable Northwest Project. We're a coalition of nonprofit public interest organizations and renewable energy companies. Just very briefly, we discussed this particular issue in the Governor's Renewable Energy Working Group. And the reason why the bill is important for those of you, you know, just to give a real-life example, is there was a lot of concerns, particularly with PV developers, solar photovoltaic developers, who rely on working with pass-through partners to take advantage of the BETC, that there wasn't a clarity in the law about being able to work with multiple pass-through partners to take advantage of the same credit. And that's pretty helpful, given that if that particular developer doesn't have their tax liability on their own, they can work with a pass-through partner. But sometimes it's hard to find one single pass-through partner that has that much tax liability, particularly if it's a large project. So this allows for multiple partners for the same credit and just clarifies the law to that extent. The one question that I would have...
Excuse me. I think what you're saying is that it allows you to break up the credit and sell it to several different entities.
That's correct.
Thank you. Now I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
Great. Please go ahead.
The one question I did have,
Representative Bailey?
I'm sorry. I'm a little slow. Can you clarify which bill you're commenting on?
Sorry, 2159.
2159. Thank you.
Thank you.
So there was some concern in the Renewable Energy Working Group, primarily from solar PV developers, that they wouldn't, that the law was not clear enough to be able to do that. So this helps clarify that, and I think that's a positive thing. So, and essentially, the main thing is that, you know, the Business Energy Tax Credit has done an incredible job of bringing renewable energy development, renewable energy manufacturers to the state, and especially given this current fiscal climate, it's hard to find entities with tax liability, and you want to make sure that that continued development occurs and those entities in the state can take advantage of the tax credit as much as they can, so that we get results, which we're getting now. The one question I do have is about whether or not the ability to have multiple pass-through partners for the same credit would apply to an S-corporation or a partnership. I did get some questions from several developers about that and whether or not this bill is intended to allow for that, because their sense, you know, was that the way that DOR currently reads the law is that while you can work with several individuals, an S partnership if you have an S partnership, you can't do this. You can't work with multiple pass-through partners. So one question I would have, just to make sure that when the law is, I'm assuming there'll be some technical changes, my suggestion would be to make sure that it's written in such a way to allow for that. And I can refer you to entities that, you know, work with these provisions a little more closely if you'd like that. I'm happy to take any questions if you have any.
Questions? I have one. Are you on the last comment you made? Are you referring to the change on page 2 or the change on page 3?
Well, that's what I'm not sure about, to be honest.
Okay.
The provision
we've already asked the department to look into the language on page 2 to make it more clearer about what their intent is. So that language is likely to change anyway. But I'm not certain that I understand what your comment's about.
Right. So I think this is a separate issue entirely. So while it does appear that the intent of the partnership language regarding to revocation, as the Department of Energy or the Department of Revenue said earlier today, that language could be clarified. This is separate. So this is whether or not it just be helpful. And I don't know if the current language does this.
Yeah.
Is to make sure that if you have if you're financing a project through a partnership, if that partnership can work with multiple pass-through partners for the same credit versus an individual. Does that make sense? So it's kind of a third separate issue.
Right. I think what you're raising is the question of whether the type of entity that owns the credit makes a difference in the way in which you can transfer it.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Now I understand it. Other questions? Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard today on House Bill 2159 or House Bill 2068? I don't see any. And with that, we'll close the public hearing on those two bills. Colleagues, we have exhausted our agenda for this morning. I should let you know that we have scheduled a special time for hearing the 2157 on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. It had to do with the 72-hour requirement. So we'll be meeting in the morning on Friday as usual, but we'll recess after the morning session and pick up again at 2 o'clock to discuss the Reconnect bill. And the issue specifically that raises that is the potential that Congress may include in their stimulus package a provision having to do with the depreciation of business assets. So that may necessitate our action in an expedited way. So plan for that on your calendar. And unless there's another announcement, we are adjourned for today. Thank you.